it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And joining us now is TD Teron Davenport. TD, it was a rough one in Tampa Bay yesterday, and I heard you asking questions about the offensive line and protection of Will Levis. And frankly, TD, that is my biggest fear, that Will Levis won't be able to make it out of this season upright with the protection that he's gotten the past couple of weeks, most notably yesterday. What did you notice from the offensive line and some of your takeaways from what you heard from Mike Vrabel?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest thing for me is how he praised Levis for the toughness and not staring down the pressure coming and still standing tall and delivering the ball. And obviously there were other things that factored into the lack of success, but he said that he learned that Levis is a really tough player. And I think that's a good thing, and especially for those who feel like there's such a separation between Mike Vrabel and Will Levis, that's a connection right there. It's the same type of connection that he would always talk about with Ryan Tannehill, that toughness. So that's what I was curious about, and it ended up giving us a good answer there.
Yeah, I mean, that is one thing that I don't think you can say about Will Levis, is that he's not tough, is that he doesn't give a ton of effort, and I think we saw that when he was almost constantly under duress yesterday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, TD, I'm interested to hear your opinion on this. Do you think it's fair to say darn near close to all of this offense's problems are the offensive line?
No, it's not fair at all to say that. And actually, Mike Vrabel, he made a good point in showing how, you know, there were drop passes and there were other things that went into it. You know, it's not just the offensive line, but obviously, you know, that's the first thing that a lot of people look at, understandably. But there were other things that happened that just simply didn't go right.
Well, yeah, TD, there wasn't a lot that went on. I just looked at that game, and I think for the first time this season, and I'm not going to get into last season, I think for the first time this season, I saw a team that was bad. And I understand, listen, you had some drop passes here and whatnot, but I just saw a bad team, not a bad offense. I saw a bad team, a team that just when you thought you had an opportunity, or just when you thought you saw some good things, they end up doing bad things. Have two, you know, false start penalties in a row, I believe. Early on in the game, and it pushed them even further back. So stuff like that, and then drop passes. I mean, this team looked as if I'm not going to say they can't get better, but man, it's going to take an act of God for them to get better to a point where we believe they are competing for a playoff spot.
It's bad, right? You mentioned that back-to-back false starts on Dylan Raiders. How many times has this team come out and said how important it is to stay ahead of the chains? Mm-hmm. Here it was, second and four, gets turned into second and 14. And what do they have to do a couple plays after that? Punt, right? You look at the challenge, a very good challenge by Mike Vrabel on the catch. I think it was Troy Palmer, the former Nebraska receiver. And he challenged that it was trapped, and guess what? That 32-yard gain was eliminated. Well, what happened the very next play? A 43-yard completion to Mike Evans. So you have those type of things. And then you got to mix in some nonsense, right? Like the holding call on Elijah Molden that came out a minute and 47 seconds after the play. Why does that happen like that? You know, so it's just, along with the bad play, you have some circumstantial stuff, but even, you know, the screen, you look at that, and it's just, it was a good play call. It caught him in a situation, but, you know, that's one of the ones where, and I could be wrong, but it seemed like Monty Rice, that was his assignment. I'm not sure exactly, but, you know, these type of things happen, where it's one bad thing here, one bad thing there, and next thing you know, it's leading to points. And this team, like, they don't score a lot of points, so you can't have those hiccups on defense that lead to points also.
Now, in your experience, because I'm not going to ask you, you know, just flat out, can it be fixed? Because I've been a part of teams where it was going bad for a minute, and then somehow, some way, we were able to fix it. You know, guys gained confidence, and you were able to move on from there. But in those situations, we had the players. It just wasn't working for a bit, and then it finally started working. Get that one play, and it jump-starts everybody. But from your experience, TD, and the question was asked to Mike, can this be fixed this year?
That's a good question. And, like, for me, I look at two teams. I look at the 2016 Eagles, and I look at last year's Jaguars team. And, yeah, they were losing, but pretty much all of the games were being lost by nothing more than one score, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing more than 8 points. You have a 3-point loss here, 1-point loss. This Titans team, 4 out of their 6 losses have been by, 8 points or less. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, well, you never go into the if side of things, but you say to yourself, there has to be a way to limit those mistakes. We just talked about the mistakes leading to points, and there it is. And then you pair that with the red zone, and this is a team, 2019 to last year, they were at 70% scoring touchdowns in the red zone. They were at 34% entering yesterday, and we know that they were 0-for-2 yesterday. So that number is probably, 33, 32%. That's less than half of the time they were in the red zone over the last 3 years. That's less than half. So you have that too. So you marry those two things together, and that's where your problem is primarily. You know what I mean? The inability to score inside the 20 and giving up these plays, having these mistakes that lead to points.
We'll talk with Teron Davenport discussing the Tennessee Titans' loss yesterday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, we've had some callers call about, Tim Kelly, and we had a bunch of texters saying, hey, listen, things need to change. We need to change offensive coordinators. But my comeback to them is, what do you expect Tim Kelly to do? I mean, he has one hand tied behind his back with only 2 fingers. What more can he do? He only works with what he has. And what he has at this particular time isn't good, and it all starts up front. So what do you say to those? And I know why they say it, TD, because he was a guy that was in-house, and it seems like a few of these in-houses hadn't worked. But what do you say to all the Titan fans are out there that believe Tim Kelly should go?
Well, I think you got to look at what's being trotted out there, right? Look at the offensive line. As you said, it starts in the trenches. You remember yesterday, there was a play-action pass, and before Will Levis could even finish the play fake, Shaq Barrett was in his face, right? Do you remember they get the ball to the 9-yard line? Like, this team, not only did they get into the red zone, they got low red zone, first and goal from the low red zone, first and goal from the 9-yard line, right? A sack. You get first and goal from the 6-yard line, a 3-yard loss run. And why? Because there was instant penetration. It does start with the offensive line. So that's what I say to those who, say fire Tim Kelly. I think you got to slow that down a little bit. And then you look at, talking to Kyle Phillips today, he was like, you're doing right. We're cutting routes short at times. And Will Levis knows that we're doing that because we have to do that because we know the clock is sped up. So when you have all these things combined, and yeah, you know what? You could do quick catch and throw type of things. And you look at that first drive, that's primarily what they were doing. So I don't think that Tim Kelly is a terrible offensive coordinator. It's just, it's tough to do things when you're not having the protection and time to do it. And I think Will Levis against the Falcons kind of spoiled people, because he's standing in there and throwing the ball off his back foot, down the field 40, 50 yards, and you think that's going to happen all the time, and it's just not.
TD is with us. That's been kind of our theme of the day is – Is this offense struggling? Yes, absolutely. But this offense is also incredibly limited when you don't get proper protection of the quarterback or when the offensive line isn't blocking for the run game. But speaking of the red zone, I wanted to get your thoughts on two instances on fourth down where the Titans decided to kick it when I thought it could have gone for it. It was the fourth and two in Tampa Bay territory and then the fourth and goal at the Tampa Bay nine that you were just referencing. Mike Vrabel liked to kick it both times there. And then, of course, the one that that Nick Folk missed and then made the final one. I was a little bit confused about the decision to kick a field goal down two scores. You're down 17-3. What did you make of the decisions to kick there on those two fourth downs?
Yeah, I probably would have went for it because it's just like, hey, man, like, we need as many points as possible. And we don't know how when the next time we'll be able to get the ball down here. But I understand his decision, right? Because go back and watch that game. Oh, yeah, today is Tuesday, so the end zone copy should be coming out soon.
Monday.
And you're going to see. Oh, yeah, today's Monday. Oh, my days are all messed up. Well, tomorrow afternoon. Now I'm going to put this precursor in there, viewer discretion advised. There's going to be violence and, you know, some things happening that you hate to see, but you watch that end zone copy, those guys are getting their tails whooped. I was able to watch that, you know, through the ESPN with Next Gen Stats, so we could get the end zone copy, and it was consistently. And there's a couple posts on Twitter, one of the linemen, they ran a twist, and the dude from inside looped to the outside, and he ran right through the 7 and the 5 on Dylan Radice's chest. You know the sack that Vita Vey has.
Yep.
So I say all that to say, those guys are getting whooped up front, so that hesitation on Mike Vrabel's part, I would imagine. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth or put thoughts into it. I would imagine that's what he was thinking. Like, man, these guys are getting whooped up front. I got to take these points, and then we'll just see what we could do on the next drive.
And look, if he does feel that way, I don't blame him. I don't blame the hesitation in the slightest. But I did want to talk about the defense. I've been disappointed in a defensive unit that I thought had the makings of being elite going into this season. And look, you give up 20 points on the road. You had an interception. Dear Tart had the sack early. It's not like the defense was a complete non-factor. But I'm disappointed in how little they're getting after the quarterback. I'm disappointed in how few turnovers they're causing. I'm disappointed that it feels like there isn't that same kind of fire that maybe we've seen from the defense, at least in recent history. What have you seen from the defense, and what do you think they can work on in order for that unit to maybe look like it can fulfill the potential that we thought it could have in training camp?
Yeah, the big thing is the lack of turnovers. When you're a team like the Titans where points are such a premium, you got to give your offense more shots to score. And that's the big thing. I mean, Roger McCreary's interception, that's the third interception. The third, not for McCreary, for the team. You see what I'm saying? So that's I believe, 31st in the NFL. You can't have that, you know. And then you also look at some of the other things that, you know, are happening. Yeah, the sacks aren't up as much, but Jeffrey Simmons, he pointed out yesterday, like, they were able to move Baker Mayfield off his block and you disturb him a bit, but, you know, he was able to still get verticals to Mike Evans. And I think, you know, up front, those guys, that they have to do a better job of finishing the deal, right, and sacking the quarterback or getting those strip sacks, you know, like Jeffrey Simmons got a couple weeks ago. So those are the things that are going wrong. And then it goes back to, you know, what we said about one guy being out of position here or one guy not reading that correctly, and next thing you know, it's a touchdown. And I think those are the things that are going wrong, and that's where, you know, the defense is different. Collectively, though, I mean, you look, 20 points per game is basically what they're allowing, and that's you know, in the upper part of the league. But it just, with the way this offense is, they have to be like the Jets, right? They have to be like the Browns and give up next to nothing just to be able to have this. I mean, they scored 6 points yesterday, like six, you know, and that's not the first time that they failed to score a touchdown.
Yeah, they're going to have to, in order, you know, if you're going to reap the benefits of the defense only giving up 20 points, you're going to have to start scoring points yourself. You know, I told the crew, listen, it's just basic math. When you're giving up 20 and you're only scoring 17, you ain't going to win too many games like
tough
that.
To win.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough
much.
To win. From a secondary standpoint, you know, at the end of the week last week, I said, there's one guy above all guys you cannot allow to beat you, and that's Mike Evans. That's the one guy that has the legitimate ability to beat you, you know, your whole defense. That's one guy you can't allow because their running game really wasn't going the way they wanted it to go. And I know White is a good back, but he wasn't the back that was going to pick up those grinding yards. Did a good job in the pass game he did yesterday. But what did you see from the secondary? Because that one guy that I said, don't let him beat you, he essentially beat you all while dropping three passes, and one of them was a touchdown.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. He actually played better defense on himself than the secondary did, to tell you the truth. It's funny that drop that you mentioned in the end zone. Jenna Lane, that the ESPN Bucks reporter, she told me that Mike Evans told her that he dropped that because he was trying to think about who he wanted to give the football to. One fan, and that's why he dropped it, which is crazy. But anyway, I think, you know, they doubled him at times, but they caught him at one-on-one. You know, you look at that against Roger McCreary. You know, he was able to get that inside leverage and get past him. And I think, you know, that was a big problem. And he was just making plays, man. And it was just such easy pitch and catch. I mean, they would take one thing away, and then, you know, there was one play where they took the post away, and Chris Godwin on the right side was right there and caught an outbreaking route, and it was just an easy completion. It was too much of that. And I don't care if you got, you know, Bruce Smith and Reggie White with Cortez Kennedy and Warren Sapp on the line, if the guys back there are allowing so much separation, you're not going to get to the quarterback and impact them. And that's what happened on a lot of plays. It was just easy pitch and catch.
Now, was there any sense of frustration from the running game? And I say the running game, but I mean Derrick Henry, because he could never get going. There was one play, TD, where, I mean, it wasn't Vita Vey. It was one of their other guys. He beat the guy off the ball so quickly and so clean. He took an inside release. As soon as Derrick Henry got the ball, he hit Derrick Henry underneath his chin. And it was a loss of like 2-3 yards. And I just got to believe, like, after consistently running into something like that, the body language coming off the body off the football field has to be one of just like one disappointment, but then frustration. Because I think this is the worst I've seen. Well, I know it's the worst I've seen of it, of individuals blocking for run plays. We always say Derrick Henry can get out of some of this, but yesterday he couldn't get out of much of it.
Yeah, and I tell you, Derrick Henry does a good job of hiding that frustration and you know, disappointment or what have you, because he runs off the field basically the same every time. Like you'll get a head shake or something like that sometimes, but it's pretty much even keel. But, I mean, to your point, he was hit behind the line so many times. How many times did you see Levante David, who had an outstanding game? How many times did you see him swoop inside or you know, find a way to slash in there and tackle Henry for a loss as well? And I think that's just – it happened more than it does normally, and that's something that I think there was a stat. I think it was like negative 2.5 yards before the line of scrimmage, Henry was getting hit consistently. So it's I know there's got to be frustration there, but I mean, it's one of those things where you want to try to keep doing it. But, you know, when you run on first down, you get negative two and a second and 12. What do you do? Right. We already talked about receivers having to cut their route short because of the protection issues. And we talked about guys up front just getting violated. So it just makes it tough for everybody all around.
100%. TD, Jerron Davenport is with us. TD on the road at Jacksonville this upcoming weekend, a divisional game on the road. We know how much this team has struggled on the road. I'm so worried about this game. And I think at this point, you look at the schedule upcoming on the road at Jacksonville, on the road at the Dolphins. Those two games against the Texans look much scarier now than they did possibly in July or August. Just looking ahead at the Jags this weekend, what are some things that you're looking for? Protection?
Listen, that Jacksonville defense gets after it, and they have some athletes there at every level. Josh Allen is he's having a tremendous night. He was hurt, obviously, last week, but I would imagine he'll be back for this one. You look at Devin Lloyd, you look at their corners are playing well. You know, Andre Sisco is playing well. So that defense, they're active, and they get after it. You know, that safety they have, they like to blitz him. He had the questionable force fumble last year, you know, on Josh Dobbs. So you got all that. But offensively, you know, Trevor Lawrence is not the next coming of Joe Montana, despite, you know, what a lot of people want to say, but he's still playing good enough. And again, they had a rough game last week, but that San Francisco defense is real. Like, they're no joke. But you look at Christian Kirk, you look at Travis Etienne, the way he's running the ball. Evan Engram is a catch and run tight end. And, you know, if they get Zay Jones back, you got that. Like, there's a whole lot of really positive going on with them. And they actually drafted the offensive lineman, Harrison, from A&M, Texas A&M. And he was a guy I thought the Titans should look at, Antoine Harrison, but he's actually starting for them as well. So they've done a good job of just continuing to put things together. And, you know, right now you got to call them they're the team to beat in the AFC South.
Speaking of someone who's no joke, C.J. Stroud, my goodness. The AFC South may go from a struggling conference to a conference that has some of the more elite quarterbacks in the AFC. But TD, we appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
All right. I'll see you all. Take care.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, TD. Oh, I just... it's depressing, D-Mace.
That, to say the least, depressing, disappointed, frustrated, you know,
no hope for things to get better, at least for right now.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm listening to TD at the end when you asked him the question about Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And he started rattling off these players that will be coming back. You know, hopefully they'll be back from injury. They should mm-hmm. be back from injury, or they will be back from injury. And he started naming off other guys, Christian Kirk, all this. You can't do that with the Titans. You can't say, well, oh, this guy's coming back, we should be good. This guy coming back. And you've said this. Like, there's no next guy. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I can't wait till he come back. Then we should be better. This ain't 2 years ago when it was like, okay, we're winning. But when Derrick Henry comes back off his injury, watch and see us go.
Yeah.
It's not like that. There's nobody. Who are we waiting on? The Wolf?
To come and fix all of this?
Yeah. Pulp Fiction. sort of reference. But the Wolf is not coming in here to fix everything.
No.
He's not. So on one end, on one side of the coin, you see one team that you're about to play that, hey, they got guys coming back or this and that, and their fan base is probably like, okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got beat up by San Fran. They're probably saying, who doesn't? But we got guys coming back.
San Francisco's so good.
Yeah, San Francisco. But Titan fans can't say that. They can't say, oh, man, we got this guy coming back. This guy coming back. Oh, we should be good. He's healthy now. Can't say that.
That's how bad yesterday was.
Yeah.
It feels very defeating.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Plus, what Mike Vrabel had to say about the offensive line. We'll get into that. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.